Do I need to do anything with this?
While you're turning there, perhaps I will put the title on the board here. I'm not tall enough to see up there, but I think there's a marker. All right. Okay, well, that's about enough. We're running out of room. What would you do if? Okay, well, I have a question for you this morning, obviously. What would you do if you could do anything you want to do? What would you do? Let's qualify the question a little bit. What if you had plenty of money? So it wasn't an issue of, I wouldn't have enough to do, whatever. Maybe you want a cattle ranch. You want 1,000, 5,000 acres. You can get the cattle ranch. It's fine. You got plenty of money, plenty of resources, everything you need for the equipment, everything. If you want to fly to the moon, you can do it. Buy your rocket. You got all the time you want that you need. You don't need to work. You got time and money. What would you do? Or if you had all the capabilities, you've got all the time you need, you've got all the money you need, you've got all the abilities that you need. What would you do? You want to be an athlete? You could be the best professional athlete. You could compete in the Olympics. Always win. You could be the best. Be a business person. Be the best business person. And the reason I qualify it like that, if we think about our lives and what we would want to do, we often start problem solving. Well, I can't because. But I'm thinking a couple different things here. I'm thinking of an examination of the heart. This is actually a simple way for you yourself to examine your heart. What do I want? What would I do if I could do anything that I want to do? What would I do? What would you do? Have you ever thought about, anybody ever thought about that? Okay. A few of you have. I have. I know what I would do. If you haven't thought of that, I just like to encourage you today, and this is what this is going to be about, your heart and your heart's direction. And I don't mean what would you do. Obviously, I'm saying bigger things. I don't mean what would you do this afternoon or next weekend. I'm saying what would you do with your life direction? Where would you go? What would you do? What would you form your life after? If you could just form it and pursue anything you want to pursue, what would you do? That's what we're doing, examining our hearts this morning. Well, I'd like to give out a few scriptures for participation for you to look up for me. I like audience participation, as those of you who know me know that. I prefer if I ask a question that you'll actually answer and that you'll look up some scriptures for me. While you're talking, I can think of what I'm supposed to say next, so that helps me. Okay, so if someone could look up John 15, verses 8 and 11, Brother John. All right, and if someone could look up Ephesians 2:10. How about Acts 9, 26 to 28? How about Acts 11, 21, 25, and 26? Acts 11, 21, 25, and 26. Acts chapter 12, verse 25. Acts chapter 14, verses something. Acts 14:12. Thank you. Acts 15. We're going to look at a few scriptures in Acts, obviously. 15:36-40. No takers? All right. And then one more. 2 Timothy 4:11. Okay. Great. So what would you do? Let's look now in Psalm 37. And before we read that in Psalm 37, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness, your kindness. I thank you for this time this morning that we can examine our hearts. We can lift ourselves up before you and your measuring stick and your future for us. I know it's different for everyone in the room. No two people here have the exact same future. No two people here are built, spirit, soul, and body, exactly alike. You've got gifts, you've got calling, you've got direction for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning and give us your wisdom and your direction, your passion, your examination. Lord, speak to us and lead us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look at a couple of verses here in Psalm 37. Verses, let's go with, there's a few verses, verbs here. Yeah, maybe we'll just read, start at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And we'll just stop there. You'll see some verbs in there. I like that. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself. Verse 5, commit thyself. Verse 7, rest. All very important verbs. Let's just dig in here to just verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So in just that verse, if we divide it up and say there's a part of the verse for me to do, you to do, and a part of the verse for God to do. So what part do you do? We delight. What part does God do? He gives. And what does he give? He gives, he fulfills the desires of our heart. Think about it this way. What if it was my job to work really hard to fulfill my calling and my purposes and my desires? Is that what I should do? Set my heart fully only on fulfilling my desires. There's something here about just backing off on that. And my part is actually delighting in the Lord. God's part is fulfilling your call, your purpose, your direction. It seems like that's a couple things that go together very well. The more I delight, the more my purposes and my direction begin to line up with God's plan for me, God's heart, God's desire, because I'm delighting in him. And he is about, his work here is fulfilling. We all have futures here, and we don't spend a lot of time, a lot of us don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. We live day to day. But God has something for us that he wants us even to set a direction in our life. But our direction is really set by our delighting in him. That actually sets direction in our life. What does God want for me? As I delight in the Lord, his direction gets set for me. That makes sense? In our walk with the Lord, we spend time a lot on these two things, faith, and maybe more on that. But we have these couple of things. If you just think about faith and service, you have faith being all about our relationship with the Lord, learning about Him, spending time in the Word and prayer, nurturing along our faith, understanding, growing in the Lord. It's all good, and we need that. But if we don't have this part, and I don't mean anything about works, but there's something about enjoying joining with God in His work. And as I delight myself in the Lord, I begin to join Him in what He wants to do. Can you imagine if you get saved and you come to the Lord, but you just go right on living the way, well, I believe everything, and I believe it, I read, I pray, but that's just the end of it. I read and believe and pray. I don't do anything different than I did before, but there's something about us, something about a father and his child. The child wants to participate in what the father is doing. And the closer that relationship is, the more that child wants to participate in what the father is doing. Is that true? You think that's true? We all have different directions, different gifts. I thought about spending time talking about gifts this morning. I'm looking up at the preacher's clock and it's gone, so I don't have any idea. I'm lost this morning. Don't know what happened, but I think this is a short message this morning. But I was going to talk about gifts, and I would like to talk a little bit about that, but I want to highlight just differences in direction and kinds of people. And I'd like to look at a couple of prominent people in the New Testament. Oh, thank you. That's helpful. Okay. A couple of prominent people in the New Testament. And that's why we have all these Acts scriptures. Because I want to look at, I believe that God leads us according to how He has built us. And is that you tracking with me there? He leads us and we end up doing things. I mean, I'm not going to be the president of anything, really, probably. I'm not that kind of material. I'm not a president. And I don't care. I don't have that desire. And so He leads us. We have a purpose and a fulfillment. And He's built us a certain way. So there's much to be said about spiritual gifts and how He's built us. But I want to talk about working together with each other in those gifts and seeing different and try to call up. We often, in the body of Christ, we think the preachers, teachers, speakers are the ones that have gifts to fulfill and do things, and we don't realize that everybody else has something that we need to call into action to come along with the speakers, teachers, preachers, and all that, and the leaders. We need to call the rest of the people into action too. We'll really get something done if we can do that. I want to look here at two people, Paul and Barnabas. And I'll just read some scriptures. Who has Acts 9, 26 to 28? Go ahead and read that. Okay, so I didn't start back at Saul's beginning, but he was a ravenous wolf attacking Christians, right? This man was bloodthirsty, watching the stoning of Stephen, killing. Then he wants to get letters to go to Damascus to get people out of the synagogues and pull people with and have a legal right to take them, bind them, bring them back to Jerusalem. This is the kind of man Saul was. So then when he comes, he gets converted. As you know the story, he gets converted on the road to Damascus. And he comes back and he wants to go in and he wants to see the apostles, but they're not so sure about that, okay? Understandably. as Ananias wasn't sure either when he was to come and pray over him that he'd receive his sight. So what happens here, their lives intersect here, Barnabas and Saul's lives, and they may have known each other before. We're not real sure about that, but it doesn't say, but may have known each other before. But either way, Barnabas took him and brought him in. And I want to show you the differences between Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas was a certain kind of person. And as you read through here, if you don't notice certain scriptures, you could even question, if you compare the two, as we look at all that Paul did, what a valuable person the Apostle Paul was. The whole New Testament was written, not the whole New Testament, excuse me, all those letters, all those epistles, and so much written, so much taught, so many churches planted, very valuable. And in comparison, we could look at Barnabas and say, I'm not even sure if he has much value. There's no recorded sermon. I don't see anything that he said anywhere that was of even recordable value. I don't know if there's anything recorded that he said, really. But here in verse 27, it says, Barnabas took him. Barnabas was a trusted person. I'm just trying to talk about this morning different kinds of people doing different kinds of things. We're not all Paul. Sometimes Barnabas comes along. Acts 11, I want to read that, 21, 25, and 26. Okay, in between here, so Saul was brought into the apostles first by Barnabas. Then there was a lot of riots and a lot of things went on and persecutions, and they sent Saul home to Tarsus. That was his home. Sent him home. The brethren did. They all agreed. Time to go. And then there was peace. Then there started being this revival happening. The hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed, verse 21. And Barnabas is thinking, it's time to go get Saul. Call him Saul here? Yeah. Time to go get Saul. Here's a man who recognizes someone else. Saul, Barnabas doesn't step in there, now it's my time to shine, or whatever. It's time to go get Saul. We're all different kinds of people. Here's Barnabas recognizing we have someone to set in place here. Barnabas says, I see a very unselfish brother in the Lord here, pulling someone else, this gifting of this man. Would Paul just have Saul come in anyway? Well, we don't know. God uses people to raise up other people and to train other people. He uses us. That's the way it works. We could hope he would have. We don't know. It's a moot point. But here's Barnabas filling a role, bringing in someone else. And I just enjoy this. Verse 25 in Acts 12, 25. Who has that? Read that one. Nobody has Acts 12, 25? Okay, I have it. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they get involved in ministry, and they bring with them a young man named John Mark. And so we want to follow a story along here a little bit with Acts 14, 12. Okay, so right here, Paul was the chief speaker. Barnabas, I think he helped teach in Antioch, perhaps, but we don't know what he taught, but he was there. But Paul, they called a certain name because he was the chief speaker. Barnabas is a support person. Paul is the chief speaker. Okay, that's all we're seeking to show here, enjoying, just seeing different kinds of people. Acts 15, 36 to 40. These are some interesting scriptures, and I'm going to use them perhaps differently than you've heard them before, but I would like to look at these. Who has those? Okay, this could be kind of a difficult scripture. You have a contention here, a sharp contention, a disagreement, and they go different directions. But I'd like to suggest that it can also be encouraging. The ministry didn't stop. And we don't think there was any slander and things like that. The ministry kept going. Paul was recommended by the brothers, go here. What did Barnabas do? How was Barnabas' role different than Paul's role? What did he do? Just say something about that. Somebody. Barnabas. Barnabas was actually, his name was the son of encouragement, depending on your translation. So here you have Mark. He left the work earlier. He had abandoned them. And so Paul's saying, we're not taking it. And Paul's gifting and calling, get the job done, get the work done, and that's good. Barnabas is noticing the people. Okay, we need to, you know what, it might not be the time for the end for Mark. It might be a little difficult to get booted off of Paul's team. Could be. Might be free fall for a while for Mark. Don't know what to make of this. I know I messed up. He probably had it coming for whatever reason. We don't know. But what did Barnabas do? It's not the end here for you here, Mark. And so they pick up Mark and they head for Cyprus. What's unique about Cyprus for Barnabas? It's home. Barnabas grabbed Mark and said, let's go home. Let's go to my place and take a little time here and work this out. And maybe they did some warmer ministry at Cyprus. We don't really know. This doesn't say anything about it, what they did. And you could say Barnabas did nothing much because we don't have any record of what he did. Except that we do have something. Did I give 2 Timothy 4:11 to anybody? Yeah, okay, read that. So here you have Barnabas taking Mark, and we know something happened because later on Mark rejoined somewhere, and Paul says he's profitable to me for the ministry. So Barnabas is helping to raise people up. He himself is probably, he may not be that good at preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel and doing these. He may not be that good at it, I'm not sure. But he sure knows how to recognize gifts in people and recognize what to do and when to bring a person in and when you've got a brother that's probably going to fade out here or really struggle, take him home. Rehabilitate a little bit, keep the force moving, keep the force of God's ministers expanding the kingdom. We need that too. So we have Paul and Barnabas, very different. We have you and you and you and you, very different in what you'll do likely as you live out your calling and your purpose and your direction. But I know there's lots of gifts and lots of futures here just waiting on, God, what would you have me to do? What would I do if I could just do anything I want to do? And as you submit that to the Lord, I just wanted to examine a little bit different kinds of people in the Bible and how God uses them. There's all kinds of things that you could do if you would just open up your imagination a little bit and then submit it to the Lord. What would I do? If I could walk out here today and say, you know what, the next step for me in this, what God would have for me is X, because... And you wouldn't. And you don't say, well, I don't have time. I mean, I got to pay the bills, provide for family. Lord, okay, within the context now, we know we don't have all the money in the world. We know we don't have all the time in the world. We don't have all the capabilities. We've got limitations. But Lord, in light of who I am, there's something out there. There's a calling and a gift and a future. What would I do? I'd just like to put it out there to you to start doing it. And lay it before the Lord. And you know, if we ask this question, what would you do if you could do anything you want? It does say something about your heart. I said earlier, it's a way to examine your heart. In the first place, if you put that question out there and you're really honest with yourself and you realize, I just want my own fleshly. Well then, be honest with yourself. Present that to the Lord. I'm a fleshly person. I just want myself, my own ways. I'm putting up treasure on earth. Whatever it is you're doing, it's fleshly. Be honest with yourself. You could examine your own heart. If you would just say, what would I do if I could just do anything? Examine your own heart. And then if you have a spiritual direction, you could lay that before the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. You think He'd have anything to do with bringing that to pass? If He has a future for you, a calling and a direction, something for you to walk in, something for you to fulfill, I've got a question for you here. Is it okay to find enjoyment in serving the Lord, in finding fulfillment? Would that be okay? I think sometimes people think that's drudgery, but if you're examining your heart, that's a worldly, I'll just share that with you. If you think of only what you want to do, you have a worldly mindset, a fleshly worldly mindset, and you just don't know that the most fulfilling thing you can do is God's plan that will unfold for you. That's the most enjoyable thing. If you've got fun things in mind, or keep in mind, you've got all of eternity to enjoy life. I mean, I'd love to travel and go out west and see the mountains and go to Europe and spend my money on trips. I'd like to travel. That's kind of me. I'd like to travel. Lots of things have changed in my life. Before I was saved, I wanted to be a race car driver. My family has seen that still a little bit lingering. We're working on that, you know, try to keep that down. That's the old life. But anyway, I had to die to that. Actually, was moving towards that right when I got saved. Got invited. Hey, the pit crew meets four nights a week. Race one night. You can come. Could I drive sometime? Well, I got saved right then. And so thank God for that. But anyway, heading for my dreams. Hey, the American dream. Do whatever you want to do. But let's examine our hearts. God has something, and that's what's fulfilling for us. When you join the Father in His work, that's what you'll want to do. If you delight yourself in Him, that's what you'll want to do. What He gives you to do, what He unfolds for you, is what you'll want to do. Let's read John 15, 8 and 11. Okay, so do you think a fruit tree, I know a fruit tree can't like something, but do you think a fruit tree would like bearing fruit or have no fruit? I'm a fruit tree, I just want to have bare branches, nothing on there. I like having bare branches. Do you think it would like that if a fruit tree could like something? Branches. No leaves even, just branches. Well, maybe leaves. No fruit. No, obviously, a fruit tree it's built for something. It's built to produce. We are built to produce something, fruit. And that actually glorifies God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear a little bit, much fruit. Much fruit. And there was something about joy, wasn't there, in that other verse? What was that again? His joy might remain in us, and that your joy might be full, might be completed. Somehow His joy. There's something tied with fruit and joy. The people who meander around and they're mostly thinking about their worldly lives, there's not much joy there. There's not much delight in the Lord there. It's not happening. So you want a real joy-filled life, and you want a fruit-filled life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will do His part. The next verse was, commit thy way unto Him. Commit that thing. Okay, you're examining your heart. Commit it to Him. Commit it to Him. Trust also in Him. Really do that. These aren't just, you know, inspiring words. You're supposed to actually do what it says, okay? So commit it to Him, whatever it is you want to do, and trust in Him to bring it to pass. And it just says, and He shall bring it to pass. You delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. I only brought up Paul and Barnabas just as something fun in Scripture, just to look at and say, we're all different. You all got different futures, different gifts, different style of people. Some are very word-based, speaking, preaching, teaching. Some are very doer-based, hands. Some are very people-styled, doing lots with people, helping the downtrodden, needing encouragement. Barnabas is raising up, seeing who the people we can put into place. Barnabas himself isn't probably going to go and do it. He's going to find somebody and put him into place. That's a gift. And you think he's enjoying? You think Barnabas enjoyed what he was doing? I think he did. I think he did. He's enjoying because the fruit is happening. In Paul's life, and Barnabas is sitting there, hey, this is network marketing. I get a little piece of this, you know. Paul's doing stuff, but I put him in there. Now, it wasn't really just Barnabas. It was God, but God used Barnabas that way. God will use you whatever way. If you'll submit, commit your way, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's the Lord's plan for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your goodness, for Your kindness, for Your word that just lays it out there simple. My part in this is to delight in You, to find my life in You, to love You, serve You, walk with You, know You, and delight in You. I'm happy to know You, Lord. I'm saved. All eternity is in front of us. Oh, God, we delight ourselves in You. You're good to us and kind to us. You've had mercy. We have nothing in us to deserve this life that You've given us. As was said here this morning, nothing good that we should deserve this, but we delight in You. You're so good and kind to us. And You have purposes all around this room. You have futures. You have callings and giftings, and You want to do things and let us be fulfilled and have joy in walking that out. What an amazing thing to live for You. I'm happy to serve You, Lord. This is great, and I love You for it. I give You thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen.